Well, also a BBC journalist is Middle East correspondent Sebastian Usher. Welcome, Sebastian.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. This shocking stabbing of Salman Rushdie that we have seen. What has been the reaction in Iran?
There's been no official reaction of any kind. I think, as you'd expect, because it's a very difficult political issue, really, for them. And the government, I mean, remember, the fatwa was many, many years ago from the Supreme Leader, Khamenei, at the time. It's never been rescinded, but it hasn't been pushed very strongly since. There was a restating of it by his successor as Supreme Leader, Khamenei, 3 years ago, but it was lukewarm. It wasn't like saying, go out and do this. In the state-related media, it's a different story. There's been celebration. There's one newspaper, Jame Jam, which had a picture of Rushdie essentially as a devil and was praising what happened to him. Others have followed a similar line. So, I mean, that wouldn't happen if there wasn't acceptance from the hardliners in Iran for that to be the line that's being taken.
It was an indeed shocking, but still no direct connection or no direct knowledge of the motivation of the accused.
None that's been made public. I mean, the police in the US, you know, taking this bit by bit, and they're saying that they still, you know, aren't ready to make public the motive. Obviously, there's lots of speculation. I mean, the moment that the name was announced, Hadi Mata, actually Lebanese friends of mine said that they were certain that he must be of Lebanese origin. And it seems that he is. It seems that his parents originally emigrated from the south of Lebanon. They're from the Shia community there, to the US. His father now apparently is back in Lebanon and is not happy with, you know, the media attention, and has locked himself away to stop people knocking his door and trying to get his reaction. Hezbollah, which was brought into this by the fact that on social media apparently there was praise from Hadi Mata for Hezbollah, for Iran, and so on and so forth. So Hezbollah made, you know, a small statement saying that they have actually nothing to say about this. So, you know, this is still, nothing has been locked down, but, you know, the indications are there. Obviously, the whole history of Salman Rushdie and the death threats against him and the nature of the person who carried this out, you know, it does seem that there must be some relationship between those two things.
What is the political showdown in Iraq at the moment between some rival factions?
Well, this has been going on for a long time. There was an election. The last election was nearly 10 months ago now. It always takes a long time in Iraq to get a new government, to get a new prime minister, a new president. But this is longer than ever. They've broken the record. And they're no nearer, Matt. What we have at the moment is the two rival Shia political factions. And essentially, you know, the key player politically is the prime minister in Iraq. And that is and will be a Shia. So these two rival factions, one of them the most powerful one and the one which won the most votes, but not enough to carry the day, of a cleric called Muqtada al-Sadr, they stormed parliament a couple of weeks ago, and then they've been staging a sit-in, first inside the parliament, now outside the parliament ever since. On Friday, we saw the rival faction not cross over into the protected green zone, which is where Muqtada's supporters are, but just to stay on the edge. And now they have their own sit-in. So, you know, the showdown is sharpening, although it's remaining peaceful for now. Both sides are actually calling for the same thing, which is early elections. But the thing is, they don't want the same people to be elected. So that gets us back to square one.
Now, staying with, you mentioned Lebanon, there's a wonderful story, is there, of a new folk hero. What is the source of it?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's wonderful in a way. I mean, yes.
Well, he's a bank robber I read it.
But, well, precisely. Well, he's not a bank robber. That's actually the thing. He's a guy who went to get his own money out, not a guy who went to get anybody else's money. That's why he's the hero. So he went to the bank where he supposedly has a very large cash deposit, around $200,000. That's been frozen in that bank, as has happened in most banks in Lebanon, where hard currency, you're not allowed to take it out except in very, very limited amounts. So he went. His family said it was essentially, the urgency was that his father was being treated in hospital and they needed some of the money desperately. So he went in. Again, it's unclear whether he went in with a gun or he actually got a gun while he was inside. He threatened to set fire to himself. He held customers and bank staff hostage, essentially, for about 6 hours. There was a standoff. During that, actual other depositors from the bank came and gathered nearby to show their support for him and other protesters as well. I don't know if you remember a film from a long time ago, one of Al Pacino's great films, Dog Day Afternoon. Now, he was robbing a bank, but again, he was robbing it to help someone. But what happened in that, again, was that it became very popular. People came outside and started supporting him. It's a slightly similar situation to that. He gave himself up, the bank, the guy went into the bank in Lebanon, as I said. He apparently got a deal to get a little bit of his money out, but it resonates so strongly in Lebanon. I mean, I have many friends, their family as well, who are in the same situation. And, you know, it, seeing somebody take the initiative and take the banks on in that way heartened people, although, to be honest, if everybody started doing it, Lebanon would be in an even worse state than it is now. But yes, he has become something of a folk hero, and there's a hope that he will not face any serious charges, but we don't yet know that.
Sebastian, thank you. Sebastian Usher is Middle East correspondent.